Because I always start off when I preach to tell them I am not the regular preacher if you're a visitor. Y'all heard that every time. You don't get to hear that. The other thing, I usually have my Redskin cup. I don't have it this morning. But it's good to have you back, Russ, that you're back safely and your family's in our prayer. This morning, I want to talk to you about the cost of discipleship. You know, there is a cost. How many times you ever walk into a store and pick up an item at the grocery store and you look at it and it has a price tag on it? Or you go to Walmart and you want to buy a TV or a radio or a vacuum cleaner? Or you want to buy a car? Then you go and see the price tag sitting on that car. Then you go through your decide if I'm going to pay that price. Am I willing to pay that price? Being a disciple for Christ is no different. There is a cost to it. And that's what we need to realize. Because today in age, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, I don't think we get it. I don't think we fully understand what it costs to be a disciple. One thing I want to tell you, this is not my sermon. The little blessing I take it here is you're going to hear from two preachers this morning. You're going to hear from me with my little parts in it, and you're going to hear from Harold Driscoll, who preached this sermon in October 10th, 1949, 7 years ago. See, I got a lot of his sermons I kept over the years. Amen. Y'all don't know who Harold Driscoll is. That's my grandfather. He was the minister at Coster Street from 1953 to 1957. He retired in 1970 and came back to Coster Street and helped Brother Harper there through the ministry. He had an office right next door. So this is the man that has encouraged me over the years to be able to come up here and be able to do what I do. He's the one that I get my inspiration from. So I'm going to bring you a little bit of him this morning and with a little bit of me and see if it mixes together well. Who's our disciples? That's what we need to figure out. Because, you know, if we look in the Old Testament, we look at the 12 apostles, and we kind of narrow that number down around Jesus. So those are the disciples of Christ, were those 12. But there was a whole lot more followers. And in today's age, we kind of do the same thing. We look at the disciples and we kind of throw that on Russ or Ray or Dale or the deacons, not realizing who really are the disciples for Christ. And in 1 John 3:23, it tells us this. This is my commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. What makes us disciples? We're a believer of Christ. But also in John 13:35, it tells us this. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one for another. So who does that leave out of this room? Nobody. Because the first thing, if you walk through this door, I'm sure you're a believer of Christ because you wouldn't be picking this church, would you? So that makes you a disciple. And we have a love for one another. That's how people know that we are disciples of Christ. You can switch out disciples with followers. With that being said, there comes a great commission with that, does it not? We're told, and everybody knows this one, in Mark 15:15-16, to go into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. The ones who believe and is baptized will be saved, but the ones who do not believe will be condemned. So whose responsibility is to go out and preach the gospel? Every one of us. Sometimes we lean on Russ and Dale and Ray and all the ones that have come up here and preach and think that's responsible, their responsibility, but it's our responsibility. You know, we talked about on Wednesday night that influence. And I talked about how the way you live your life, you can preach the gospel. The way you handle things in life, you can be preaching the gospel. So there's multiple ways to preach it and teach it. But we got to realize to become a disciple of Christ, become a follower of Christ, comes at a cost. don't think we understand that. Following Christ, we've got to take up our cross and follow him. But there's a whole lot more to that. Let's go back. Go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 16 and hold that spot in your Bible, because we're going to use that throughout this lesson. Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to read again verses 24 through 27. Thank you, Chuck, for that reading earlier. It says, starting with verse 24, "Then Jesus said to his disciple, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to be save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." Do we really understand what that scripture is talking about? Because I want to focus on that for a little bit this morning. The actual cost of being a Christian. What's the cost of being a disciple of Christ? First of all, we need to understand that the Lord at this time was preparing the people for suffering and death. Let's go back all the way back to the first century church. When they worshiped God, a lot of times they were punished for that. They were put in jail. They were tortured. They were put to death for that price. Jesus knew that was coming. So he was preparing them that you need to follow me. It's going to come with great suffering and pain. Let's move forward 2,000 years later. Do we truly understand that? Because we live in a free country. Y'all come walking through this door and there's nobody out there waiting for you to take you away or truly persecute you or kill you for being a Christian. So do we really understand the cost? Sure, we're going to have maybe family members that reject us, friends that reject us because we are followers of Christ. But we don't pay that high price. So do we really understand what it means to be a Christian in today's time and age? We don't have to face those sufferings. He also prepared them for the divine idea of self-sacrifice. We're going to really talk about the self-sacrifice here in a minute, what it really entails. He was preparing for them for something greater when you sacrifice. Something greater when you give your life to Christ. No one can be a disciple of Christ without the spirit of self-sacrifice. What is self-sacrifice? What does it truly mean to self-sacrifice your life? You know, we read it earlier, self-denial, let him deny himself. What does that really mean? We go back and read this. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, Jesus makes this self-denial an essential requirement. There's no way out of it. He requires this. You've got to do this. Be able to deny yourself. And a denial of things to self, but denying self. It's not a denial of things to yourself. Or I'm going to hold things back from me. Because let me give you a perfect example. In the Catholic Church, they have Lent. A lot of us know what Lent is. Where during this time, I'm not going to eat meat. I'm not going to have certain things. I'm going to fast. I'm going to keep things that I want away from me. But this is not the denial that Christ is talking about. This is not saying I'm not going to have chocolate this week. I'm not going to have bacon. I'm not going to have this stuff this week. I'm going to keep that from myself. This is not the denial that Christ is talking about. The denial that Christ is talking about is like this. A good soldier does not think of saving himself, but winning the battle. Let's talk about a soldier. When you become a soldier in the military, You leave everything behind. You leave your family. You leave all your possessions. And you go to war. And we're in spiritual warfare, are we not?
Yeah.
So when we deny ourselves and be willing to put our life on the line as a soldier. And when you go in the army, I don't know if, how many of y'all have been in the army. You no longer belong to yourself. You belong to the army. They tell you when to eat, where to sleep, what you're going to do every day. You have no choice in the matter. And this is what the same thing that Christ is asking from you. To willing to not think of yourself, but willing to put your life on the line for the battle, for the king. You know, when we go to war, we fight for our country. When we are Christians, we fight for Christ. We are willing to put our lives on the line. That is a totally different sacrifice than you denying yourself something like in the Catholic Church during Lent. Totally different. The verses here in 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, tells us this. No man that wars engages himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be the soldier. Our whole life. When we deny ourselves and give ourselves up, our whole life is turned over to Christ. Our whole job is to make our Lord happy. It's not what we want out of life. We're supposed to turn ourselves over to Christ. It's hard to understand that when the life that we live now, because we have everything given to us. We go out there, we don't face struggles. We got trials and tribulations that may be coming the way this world is going. But we are not facing what the first century church had to go through. What it meant for them to come and worship the Lord. They were punished for it. And I don't think we understand that. We walk out these doors here in just a few minutes. And our life from day to day is we worry about ourselves. What are we going to eat today? And where are we going to go? What type of activities are we going to do today? What we got on our schedule for the week at work? We think about all that stuff. And so often, God gets put to the side. But as denying ourselves and putting God first, every aspect of our life becomes His, not ours. That's the denial that He's talking about here. You know, we were talking about carrying a cross. You know, Russ talks about it many times. What is a cross designed for? Designed for pain and suffering and death. That's the only purpose of a cross. A cross is bearing and looked upon as burdens and trials in the Lord's service. We're being told we are going to face burdens and we are going to face trials. And we're going to face sorrow and pain. But let me tell you, the burdens and trials we face, there's no correlation to happiness. They don't go hand in hand. Because you can be through trials and burdens and still be happy. I'm going to tell you why at the end. Just because you're facing difficult times and struggles and you're bearing a cross has nothing to do with your happiness. Because you'll be able to hear why here in a moment. It's impossible to give ourselves to Christ without suffering and losing or loss or trouble. It's coming. It's part of the cost of being a follower of Christ, being a disciple of Christ. We are going to suffer something and lose something because of that. Like I said earlier, you may lose a relationship with a family member because they don't believe the way you do. You may lose a job because of your belief. There's going to be trials and tribulations. With losing a job, you may not have an income for a little while. And then we get to worry. And struggling over it. But it's all for the cause. It's all for the battle. This is the one we take up voluntarily. It is with our power to refuse to take it up. We talked about it in Sunday morning class. It's your choice. You have the right to not to deny Christ, or you have the right to accept Christ. And just like that sticker on the window of that new car, you see the cost. There's nothing hidden in scriptures. God lays it out what the cost is going to be. When you follow me, you may have to die on my behalf. Right now in the United States, it's not against the law to come worship, but it might get to that point. Are you willing to go to jail to be a Christian? But he lays it out. But it is you volunteered for this. It's your choice to do this or not do this. Look at John chapter 10, 17 through 18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it again. This commandment I received from my Father. You know, the good Lord, when he came down here, he had the choice to do that. You know why he did that? It's because of the love he had for his Father and the love he had for each and every one of us. The very point that we were just talking about here earlier, he was hanging on the cross. He could have said, forget it, and called 10,000 angels and said no. But he knew he had to suffer and die for us. Let me ask you something. What makes you any better? We don't. We're not any better. Christ is willing to suffer and die for us and hang on that cross for us. Shouldn't we be willing to suffer a little struggles and hardships for him? We bear the cross. Not because we can't escape it, but because it's necessary to follow him. We're not being forced. He's not hanging up on a cross and we can't say, I can't escape this, Lord. I'm hanging on the cross for you. We do it because of our love for our Father. We go through it because we're willing to go through it. Not because we can't escape. A disciple of Christ will bear any cross and endure any hardships that is demanded by his loyalty to Christ. Whatever your hardships you're going through right now, whatever difficulties you may be going through, you got to realize you're doing it for the Lord. And you got to realize, I don't care what I face. You know, as the first century church, who we have talked about just a few moments ago, what they had to go through. But how often it's easy to be in here, but once we leave this building, how do we act? How different are we? But we got to realize we need to be able to willing to endure anything for Christ. Jesus, in that scripture we read in John 10, was not just talking about himself, but he was showing leadership in the pattern of what we need to do. We need to be willing to lay down our life. We need to be willing to sacrifice for Christ. His way is better. What we need to have, as it tells us in Psalms 40, verse 8, a desire to do the will of my God. Your laws are within my heart. You know, we got to have a desire to do God's will, not our will. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it's so easy to do it in here. It's so easy to follow God's will when we're all in with one another. But as soon as we walk out of here in just a few minutes, and we get in that food line, and we got 5 items, and somebody in front of us got 20 in a 12-line item line, you get frustrated and mad. Or if that driving, you leave here and drive down the road, and somebody cuts you off, you kind of wave at them, and we kind of forget who we're supposed to be. But as Christians, how we act here should be how we act there. We need to have his will as our desire. That's what we should want to do each and every day. You know, discipleship is a lifelong agreement. We talked about the military. You know, you get in the military, you serve 20 years, you get out. But let me tell you about Christianity. There is no discharge from service. You don't get honorable discharge in 20 years. When you serve God, it's from till the day you die.
Amen.
You give that commitment that you're going to serve Him to the very end. You know, there's not even holidays or days off. When we serve the Lord, as soon as we leave out here, we need to serve the Lord just as much as we worshiped Him this morning out there. We don't get a day off. We don't get holidays. So when you act as Christians in here, and like we just talked about going to Food Lion and that guy cuts you off, you got to be the same Christian. There's no time off. There's none. You got to be that Christian 24/7, 365 days a year, 7 days a week. And sometimes that's hard. But if we think about the first century church and what they had to endure, do we really truly understand what denying self and carrying that cross really means? I think we got it easy sometimes. You know, I'm not going to try to step on your toes. Old my grandfather Driscoll, he was an old gospel preacher. He didn't hold back from the truth. You coming in here this morning is not a sacrifice for most of you. I put "for most of you" for a reason. Coming here for you, here is not a sacrifice to worship God. But there is some that I see here this morning that it is a sacrifice, because I get encouraged by them because they have a struggle just to get out of bed and not being in pain. They have a struggle getting in the car to get here because they're in so much pain. They walk in this building, they're in so much pain. It is a sacrifice for them because they're willing to do it and knows how important. But for some of us, watch your toes. Church is a convenience. It fits into my schedule. It's okay. It doesn't bother me whole much to come to church for worship. But for some of us, it's a convenience. Are we truly sacrificing ourselves? And then you ask, well, then why deny yourself? Because we just talked about all this pain and struggles and all the worries that we have to go through. Is it well worth it? Let's go back to Scripture and where we were reading earlier. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Well, that don't start off too well, does it? I'm going to lose my life? But listen to this. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Let me tell you how Russ puts it here and there. You're not going to get out of this life. There's no way out of it. We all going to lose our life. But just like Christ set the example of dying on that cross, He rose the third day. And that's what's offered to you and each and every one of you. Even though you give your life for Christ, you're going to rise again. That's not offered to other people with the same glory that comes to you. What good will it be for you to gain the whole world, yet forfeit your soul? What is there out there that you can gain financially? Prestige. What is there out there that you're willing to give your soul for? There's nothing out there to give up your soul. Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? What do you have that's worth more than your soul? I like this last part here. For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory. That's what I want to see. I want to be a part of that. To see Him come down in His Father's glory. To do what? With His angels. I picture in my head a legion of angels coming down with the Father. Coming for who? Me? Wow. Coming for me. Carry me up. To carry y'all up. Nobody else out there has that. Nobody else out there in the world has that. When the Father comes in His glory for everybody else, I feel sorry for them. Because they're going to miss out. And then He will reward each person according to what he has done. You know, here in a minute, Russell's going to come up to take any concerns and prayers that you have, and Dale will go to the back. But I want to leave you with just a couple thoughts for the next couple minutes to think about. I want you to go away this week and think about this with all your heart. I want you to think, what have I done to truly sacrifice for Christ this week? What have I denied in self-sacrifice? Am I doing everything I possibly can for the Lord out there? Not when I'm in here, out there. But I want you to also remember that we're told that this life is light and momentary. Let's go back to that car that we were just talking about with the price tag on it. What I want you to picture is this. Now it's kind of far stretched, but I want you to think about this. Because when you think about heaven, that's what it comes down to. I want to think, if you ain't got a car, man, I ain't got no car, what am I going to do? A Cadillac dealer calls you up and says, look, this is what I got for you. I got a fully loaded Cadillac, fully loaded, with power windows, power steering, anything that comes with it, it's on it. Only need you to do one thing, though. I need you to give me $100 for that Cadillac, fully loaded. But you got to do a little bit of work to get that $100 because you ain't got no money because you ain't had no car to get to work. He said, I want you to go out there and cut 10 yards for $10. But the problem is, it's that $10, that's all you can charge for that yard, to get 10 yards for $10. Some days it's going to be, that yard is going to be huge. It's going to be 100 degrees out there. Some days it's going to be nice and pretty, and the yard's going to be small, and you knock it out in a really short period of time. So there are going to be sometimes that $10 is going to be easy, and sometimes that $10 is going to be hard. It's going to be a struggle. But after the end of that 10 days, you earn that $100, you're going to go buy a Cadillac for $100? What? Light and momentary. At the end of your life, at the end of when judgment day comes, you're going to go, what? I get heaven? And you're going to look back at your life, at that cross you had to bear, at that burden you had on you. And you're going to go, what? I get heaven? Light and momentary, brothers. No matter what you're going through, no matter what struggle you have, it will not compare to that day that's coming. But are you willing to get through like that one day that's really hot and that yard is really big and you can't, oh man, is it well worth it? Yes, it is. I'm telling you. It's light and momentary. Because what we will have to face here is nothing compared to what we're going to receive. And you need to carry that with you this week. You need to look and say, hey, am I doing my part as a Christian? Am I really suffering for Christ? You need to understand it's only light and momentary. You're only going to have to face it for a short time compared to what you're about to receive. And if I've done anything to touch your heart this morning, like I said, Russ is going to be up here. Or if you have any struggles right now that seem overwhelming, you're in that hot of the day pushing that lawnmower, it just seems very difficult to get it done when the grass is not down here, it's up here. If you're in one of those moments, you ain't got to face it alone. Prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and I'm telling you, we have some righteous people in this church. So when we all start praying together, that grass will just start shrinking down. It's just light and momentary. So if there's anything that we can do for you this morning, why don't you come down and stand and sing.